Let us pray. Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds, to open our ears so that we will hear with joy what you say to us this day. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament lesson comes from the letter of James, beginning with chapter 1, verse 27. Listen to God's word. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the other one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may not have heard many sermons about the letter of James, perhaps because the reformer Martin Luther called it the epistle of straw. He was concerned that the emphasis on faith showing itself through good works could counteract Paul's message of justification by grace through faith. But John Calvin, in his commentary on James, notes that it is full of instruction on various subjects, the benefit of which extends to every part of the Christian life. Calvin was convinced that the true faith in each of our hearts will surely be evident in our life by the fruit or the results that it produces in our actions. James, the brother of Jesus, became a leader of the early church in Jerusalem. Sometimes I have wondered if James looked or sounded like Jesus. But a key point in this letter is that Christians are not to be swayed by appearances. What is important is what people say and believe and how they live. Reading the letter of James reveals similarities to Jesus' style of teaching based in the Old Testament and relating to daily life. The passage for this morning echoes one of God's central commands. James calls it the royal law, and elsewhere we know it as the golden rule. And the children told it to us as well: love your neighbor as yourself. Throughout Scripture, God shows us that there are actually three groups of vulnerable people that we are particularly responsible for: widows, orphans, and strangers, called sojourners in the version we heard this morning. We are to take care of the widow and the orphan in their distress, and to provide for the stranger in our midst. By reaching out in friendship, concern, and assistance, we will discover Jesus present in those people at the margins. For he taught us that on the day of judgment, the heavenly King will tell those who have done what is pleasing in his sight, "Whatever you did to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." First, let us consider taking care of the orphan. An orphan is a child whose parents have died or can no longer take care of him or her. We know adults in this congregation who have been greatly blessed by becoming a family through adopting a child. You may know that my own family and my life have been incalculably enriched by the presence of my sister Mary Esther, who was adopted from Korea before I was born. There is something poignant about the thought of an orphan that stirs in us the desire to reach out and care for and provide for him or her. In America, many children have benefited from the social systems that we have in place to assist them. But not every country has had a structure to handle the needs of orphan children. During World War II, my husband's late grandfather worked as a director of social work in Greece. He was a conscientious objector during World War II, and he served with UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Agency. He was sent to Athens to establish a system to provide for the thousands of children who had become orphans as a result of the war and a civil war. Groups of children were found staying in abandoned homes, sometimes where stray dogs were wandering, as they looked for food and safe shelter. There had never been such a great need. Traditionally, in the Greek culture, villagers would look after such children. Family member, a friend, a neighbor, someone would come forward to claim a child or their siblings who had lost their parents. But when there were such large numbers of children in need, it was overwhelming. The informal system of relatives, friends, and neighbors who had been relied on in the past were themselves decimated. They too were victims of war, and those who remained were doing their best in very difficult conditions. At one point, the inflation was so high and the currency was so devalued that the money wasn't worth the paper that it was printed on. And I remember Clifford's late grandpapa telling us one day he saw a little boy go out into the street, his hands full of money that wasn't worth anything anymore, and he just threw it in the air for the wind to carry away. And we kind of think about that with disbelief. There was so much that needed to be done to set things up and make life better for them. And later on, we visited Greece in 2004 with Clifford's grandpapa, and we saw some of the important sites. And people we met there remembered the UNRWA provisions of food and the assistance that was given then. Now let's consider the widow. The word refers to a woman whose husband has died, but really this can refer to a man whose wife has died, and we think of other people who are living alone. This person had a partner, but now is alone because of a painful separation. Some people may think, well, they're an adult. They should take care of themselves. But surely we can recognize that not everyone maintains the same capacity for looking out for their affairs that they might have enjoyed in the past. The aging process can have challenging effects for physical and mental health, including troubles with judgment, the need for medications which might cause side effects, and even the loss of mobility. The person who once may have been quite capable, even a leader, may now be in need of assistance. Someone who may have enjoyed a full social life with a network of friends and in the past may now be struggling with loneliness or changed circumstances. And these days in our country, we find that different generations don't necessarily live in the same town with their parents and grandparents and the children and grandchildren somewhere nearby. So one of the most important natural parts of an elderly person's usual safety net is now missing, sort of scattered around the country. Concern for taking care of the widow or the individual who's living alone came up during the past week as we thought about the snowstorm that was coming. Our own Ann Gordon is doing a certificate program in gerontology, and she pointed out to me that really it takes a team of people to support individuals living alone. For example, you could think of a baseball team. There might be a vigilant neighbor who is like the eyes and ears of the building, looking out for his neighbors. He would be like the first base. And then there might be a Meals on Wheels person, a woman who is in touch with the person's usual schedule, and she'd be like second base. And then a family member may need to be the pitcher calling the shots or the umpire who comes in when needed. So these are ways that we think about how we can support vulnerable people in their times of need. Our church has for many years had a system of matching deacons with elderly people who are called a special care person. And they check in with them once a month by phone or sending a card. And they might visit with a copy of the church bulletin or flowers for the season or bring the communion elements for home communion Sundays. And as you know, during the past year, the Board of Deacons decided to increase their level of care and strengthen the connections between our congregation through their new shepherding program. And so each individual has been contacted by the person who is like their shepherd, their deacon. And we're hoping that this will continue to bear fruit as we seek to respond more quickly to those needs that we know of, and that we'll feel a personal connection to other people in our congregation. Well, now let's think about the persons that might seem the farthest from us, that we might not talk about very often, the stranger. In Deuteronomy, God says that this is the stranger in our midst, and when we follow God's commandments, it is for our blessing. We are to reach out with love and assistance to those who are strangers because it's the right thing to do. But not only that, we ourselves were strangers in the land of Egypt, and God showed mercy on us and saved us from slavery. You might think that this applies only to the people in the family of Israel long ago. But in the New Testament, God says that we Christians have been grafted into the family tree of God. We have been added through our baptism in Jesus as his brothers and sisters to the household of God. So we are now part of God's family. And I notice that whenever John Calvin is writing about the people Israel, in his discussions of Scripture, he calls the people Israel the church. They are the church before the time of Jesus and continuing on. They're part of this great family of God that we have been added to. So there's this long, continuous family line of humankind whom God has put in relationship with himself. And we have been welcomed into God's family as those who bear the name of Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Whenever we look back on the Bible, into the history of what God has done in relationship with his people, we are to understand ourselves as having been present there, in person. Even so, we may feel uncomfortable when we think about reaching out to help a stranger. After all, children are taught to be wary of strangers because you don't know who you can trust. But it may be that there are strangers in our midst who are just quietly going about their business. There are people who we might not have ever noticed before. Sometimes when I'm coming home after a committee meeting late at night, I'm crossing Main Street, I noticed that there's a man riding a bike. And I'm not talking about someone who's dressed in cycling gear and out to get some good exercise in the sunshine. It's nighttime. And when it's cold, there's precipitation, it's dangerous. This man would be driving a car if he could afford it. I imagine this is a hard-working guy who just finished work and is heading home. Maybe he's on his way to work the night shift someplace. A stranger is someone who is out of their element, who may not feel that they belong. A stranger may be someone in need of practical assistance or a friendly helping hand. We ourselves, I bet each one of us here, has at some point known a time of feeling sad or feeling different. Somehow we were the stranger, being new in a place. And maybe we needed something, what we didn't know who to talk to. We didn't know who to turn to for help. God is telling us to be kind and be helpful to strangers. I recently read a charming book. It's called Yiddish Wisdom, Yiddish Chokmah by Christina Swarner. And in it is this expression: one is greeted according to one's garb, bidden farewell according to one's wisdom. This is true. We tend to greet or respond to people based on their clothes or outward appearance, how they present themselves to the world. But notice there is a change in the way we say goodbye. The saying implies taking time to have a conversation in order to catch whatever morsel of wisdom this person might be able to offer us. We need to be willing to listen. One way that we can reach out to strangers is to step out of our comfort zone. Starting today at the end of worship, let's greet someone that we don't know very well. I'm serious. Let's introduce ourselves and be friendly. Most church visitors, studies have shown, don't go to coffee hour because most church members are busy talking to their friends, catching up on committee business. We're Presbyterians. We have a lot of conversations, and we might not notice those people who are standing at the margins. And many church visitors don't return even to worship because no one took the time to reach out to them and say, who are you? How are you? We're glad that you're here. So within our community of faith, let's make a point of getting to know each other. Let's extend the hand of friendship to someone who actually might be a familiar face, but whose name we might not know. Let's not be embarrassed. It's better to do an act of kindness and laugh at our own discomfort than to pass up an opportunity to help someone feel more like they belong. Surely someone in the past has showed us grace and made us feel welcomed here. May today be a time for each of us to renew our commitment to reach out in friendship, concern, and assistance to people at the margins in our church and wider community. As we seek to make our Christian faith evident in our actions, God will open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts, to the people we may not have thought of before as orphans, widows, or strangers. When we trust in Him, Jesus will guide us to know what we could say or do to show kindness to these who are the members of God's family. Amen.